Greetings and salutations. This is a little bit of a bit of bonus content, I guess. Whilst Connor and I kind of chatting away before recording an episode of 60 Seconds to Comply, the subject of Knight Rider had come up and I started talking about one of my, I guess technically my favourite Knight Rider story, or at least memory. But, of course, being the dumbass that I am, I wasn't recording up until the point where I got to the really interesting part, and so I thought, you know, I can't really record this without just jumping into the really interesting part. I've got to ramble on and add some context, and, you know, not going to subject Connor to listening to my rambling shenanigans once again. I'll give you a little bit of the backstory. So, when I emigrated to Australia back in 1987. I was originally from England, you might be able to have guessed. The family detoured to Australia via America. We went and visited Disneyland and Universal Studios in California. What most people probably don't realize, but back then, even though by that stage Knight Rider had been off the air for a couple of years, they had, I believe it was, maybe one of the stunt vehicles. I don't think it was the Hero, the one Hasselhoff did. It's either a stunt one or a replica of Kit that you could go and have a seat in. I'll let my past self continue the story. So, of course, we both wanted to be in the driver's seat, you know. We're both Knight Rider fans. It's just instinctual. You want to go in the driver's seat. So,
well, that reminds me in the first Transformers where Michaela's sitting on Sam's lap. It's like, no, Bumblebee's driving. I can't sit in the driver's seat.
Well, we didn't go that far.
Yeah.
So, of course, we both wanted to go to the driver's seat. Well, I can't remember how they did the line. So I think what it is that thing where you wait in line, they let people through, like, group, small group or whatever, they let them go through, and then, like, when as soon as the other guy gets off, they get the other one. That's usual crowd control. But all I remember is that there was this big pier, you know, that's, and Kit was parked on the end of the pier.
Yeah, I saw a photo of that on the wiki, and that was just bizarre.
Yeah, I had no idea how they, or why they did that, unless, again, it was crowd control, or it was better to, for them
filtering
to get the,
into a narrower space, something like that.
Yeah, Park architecture is its own wonderful thing. So, me and my brother ran off. He's clearly faster than me by 4 years and the fact that he's not a little fat kid. And so, we run off and he gets to the right-hand side of the car, way before me. And, of course, I, you know, slow down, get to the other side of the car. So, we both get in at roughly the same time. And this is where we find out one thing that's, because we were grown up in England, English cars are right-hand drive. Now you can see why I love this story. So yeah, I got in and I was also, I'm in the driver's seat of fucking Kit.
Yeah, that's great.
That is like one of the best memories I had on that trip.
I love it.
Oh, my brother hated me for that. But
I'm just imagining him in his child brain just sitting down going, oh no.
What the fuck? I mean, we watch Kid all night around the time, but you don't mentally think about such things. I mean,
I was watching an episode about a week or so ago. I was watching the first episodes, and I was like, something doesn't look right. Why does something's a bit... Oh, right, because it's... Yeah,
American.
Yeah, it's an American car. And even though we watch a lot of American media, because that show is so much about the car, it was just tripping me out a little bit.
It honestly never occurred to me. It's just also because I was like a little kid, you know, you just go, adults are in the front seat of the car. You don't really think about the driver's side versus passenger side. It was literally probably the first time I actually... maybe I've been in the front seat of a car beforehand, but I really can't remember. I've definitely not been in the driver's seat of a car.
I think when we were little and we were off-roading and stuff, Dad would let us kind of pretend we were driving.
That's pretty cool. No, I don't ever recall being in the driver's seat of a car until that point. I probably was. I might have been on the lap at some point. I don't know. But the only other celebrity car that I can think of that I've actually been in was the DeLorean. Because Auto Expo, when that was still a thing back at the Burswood Dome, it must be like 1990, 91, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I was definitely still in primary school at the time. And for like a price, you can get you get to sit in the DeLorean and you get a photo taken. It was a Polaroid. I might still have it somewhere. It's probably badly faded.
Apparently, Universal Studios also had the A-Team van there.
Yeah, I think that probably gone away by the time we got there. Because Knight Rider had only just ended, like, a year or two before.
82 to 86, I want to say.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because you're saying about you're investigating things from 1981, and part of me is they're going, I'm fairly certain that Knight Rider was 82, but I'm not going to stop anyone from enjoying Knight Rider.
I know, that's the thing is, do I abstain from the things that have yet to come chronologically? I don't know.
I think the 80s, the 80s are an amorphous blob of a time, and it's kind of bendable to what you could consider the 80s. Because you also have like peak 80s, which is like almost like the late 80s. That's where things get really kind of weird, especially like the fashions and shit like that. And the 80s kind of trailed off in the early 90s in some aspects. Like, the 90s really didn't get an identity until essentially Nirvana came along.
True. I bought... I was just looking for one kit.
You gotta be careful. You sound like you're becoming a bit of a maximalist. I'm buying all the things.
Yeah, I'm definitely into cars right now and Hot Wheels, and every time I go out, I'm looking at the Hot Wheels. I don't know why.
We should do a op shop run at some point.
Yes, I do need to. I need more clothes, especially. And I also love looking for old toys to glue together, like I'm Sid in Toy Story, and turn into monsters.
I don't get
a lot of Transformers here, though.
No. I haven't noticed that many good toys in a while since I've been, like, op shopping. It's just been one of those things where I think my toy collecting days are behind me. I mostly now go for, like, tchotchkes and stuff like that. Or if I'm going to buy a toy, it's usually, like, an old toy. I'll buy it off, like, Collector's Own or something like that.
You can hear me opening up the kit Hot Wheels packaging, because I don't give a fuck about resale value. Oh, he's so shiny. Wow. Okay, because I got three. so I didn't mean to, but I was looking for just the cheapest one. It was like a set of them. So we've got this shiny new one. He's very glossy. And then there's an older one that's a bit beat up. And I think I'm going to make that into car. I'm going to repaint him. That's going to be car. Because they never made a car Hot Wheels.
Okay, they did make a car Hot Wheels, but I think it was a limited edition. I do have one. I know I do have one because I just saw it just recently, but it's in a box. I don't know where my kit is, though, so...
I can give you the shitty one from Universal Studios that isn't even a Hot Wheels. I have no idea what I'm doing with this one. I don't know. This actually... You know what? This is going to be... I'm going to stage a scenario here where the shitty beat-up one is from a post-apocalyptic future. He's traveled back in time and he's trying to warn Kit to get his shit together. Don't let Michael Knight make executive decisions. That's a bad idea.
I need to... So next payday, I'm definitely going to buy a DVD copy of Knight Rider 2000 because I'm sick and tired of not being able to find a pirated copy of that. And I want to watch it again. And I want you to enjoy the brilliance of the future year 2000 made in 1990-something.
Movie night.
I just realised I really don't have that many car collectibles, at least on display. The only one I got technically on display at the moment is my Batman 66 that came with the Blu-ray pack. And is it Hot Wheels?
66 Batmobile.
I never really was big into cars, but getting into Transformers and just... I've become fascinated studying the psychology surrounding cars and how they're almost like... They're like pets. They're like toys for adults, but not those kind of toys. They have a place in our society, in our families. They are anthropomorphized in a way that few other inanimate objects are. And
I think the only thing that comes close as a fetishism, more so in America, would be the gun.
Yeah, true.
Right. There's a fetishistic nature to...
God, I was the kid who wanted to be a paleontologist, so the pronunciation thing, I'm on top of that.
Yeah, well, sometimes my mouth and brain don't work.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm fairly certain I stole that joke, and I'm fairly certain I stole that from Tripod.
Oh, wow, Tripod, that takes me back.
Oh, I still listen to them occasionally. I have them on the car.
But it's a shame that these little Hot Wheels, the doors don't open up, or there's no, you couldn't fit a light in there. It's so tiny, but still, I would love it.
I still have my RC Knight Rider, because I bought, Dick Smith, back when they actually did electronics and were good. So this is almost 15-odd years ago. Yeah, good, about 15 years ago. They released a... Actually, not too bad Knight Rider RC car. It wasn't, like,
that's
really powerful or anything like that. I ended up buying two of them because I was going to turn the second one into car.
Of course.
So I pulled it... So I pulled it to pieces. And that's where it's remained.
Oh, no. You got to do it for me, man. I want to see it. Do it for me.
it's in the lot. It's in the roof at the moment in God knows how many different boxes. So the irony is, I think I've still got all the pieces to the kit I pulled apart. But do you think I can actually find the kit that was still together?
I guess you place more priority on not losing the bits of the other one.
Yeah. No, but here's the cool thing is that I had a kit, an RC kit when I was a kid, when it was first out. It was one of my favourite toys. I broke the living shit out of that because, like, you know, I was, you know, accidentally ramming it into walls and all that. So, like, it was still running up until it stopped. But, like, the bodywork was totaled. And it was kind of cool because, let me just think, it was probably about...
Did your toy insurance cover that?
You know, it's a crock of shit that the toy wasn't bulletproof. That's just a big fucking, you know. I'm sorry, this is not 100% legitimate to the experience.
Inaccurate, yeah. It doesn't even have turbo boosts. Like,
yeah, it's called pressing even harder on the forward button. But it didn't have scrolling lights. It just had a central LED light up thing. So the cool thing was the one that I got like 15 odd years ago is that it had a, like, five LEDs that would scroll at the front. So what I did with the car is I took out the red LEDs and replaced them with orange ones. And that was the last thing I ever did on it.
Cars, sensor things, the sound it makes, the whoosh whoosh, that is actually quite creepy. It doesn't sound like kids. It's a lot deeper and a lot slower, and they mimic or mirror the intro. So when Cars introduced, it's the same way they introduce Kit. So, you know, well, pitch black.
It was essentially the one of the stunt cars. It was just a Kit stunt car without any repaint, was the original car.
Yeah, well, I learned today, I was doing research on Cars for this episode of 60 Seconds to Comply, there we go.
Oh, shit, I forgot to... Oh, I was going to research the actual car, the Robocop car.
That's fine, I did it for you.
Shit. Nice.
Because that's my thing now, Cars, apparently. Don't even have my license yet.
A line in the... keep talking. I'm going to try and... There's a line in the actual novelization. I just need to find it.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about car and then...
You were researching the Robocop. Well, we can talk about the Robocop.
Oh, yeah, no. That while I was doing that research, I found out that... the first two Trans Ams, this particular Trans Am, off the line, went to Knight Rider.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
From what I can remember, it was a concept car.
Yeah.
That Pontiac were looking at making. And so, yeah, like I think the first eight ever made went to the Knight Rider production when it went to full series.
Mm.
And there was one, maybe two hero cars, were essentially the ones that, you know, the Hoff would drive around. The rest were modified to do particular stunts, like to jump off the ramps. One was modified in this particular way to do the handbrake turn.
Sorry to interrupt, but I love the fact that Kit has the uncanny ability, and this is underrated, by the way, his uncanny ability to find a ramp, even in the middle of the frickin' desert. In the ocean, he could find a ramp.
Well, he had supposedly booster jets to a degree. Well, you know, what would it...
Yeah.
What you would probably call booster jets, like to jump him up. It wasn't like Dukes of Hazzard where they just managed to conveniently find a dirt ramp that allowed them to jump.
True. I just noticed that the Hot Wheels car actually has the dashboard, like it has all the little lights.
Oh,
and
nice.
That's really cute. I love him.
I remember as a kid trying to memorize the layout of the dash and to draw it and stuff like that.
I still want a necklace that is the lights. That would be so cool. I don't know anything about electronics. I would like to... I don't know. If they had those toys around still, I guess I'd just take that apart and use that. But that's a very expensive way to go about it.
I mean, you could make a pendant. Okay, no, I wouldn't say I could make a pendant, but I mean, the figurative. You can make a pendant that one is could. Like the light bar.
Hmm.
It would be next to impossible to light. It's not a matter of making it light up. It'd just be bulky. But it's battery. It's where you're going to hide the battery. That's always the problem, is power.
Maybe like it could just run on a watch battery. Maybe
it could. I'm not sure how long it would drain for, because watch batteries are pretty low power. I mean, LED is usually a couple of volts. I'm not done LED power of things in a while, so it's hard to think off the top of my head.
Well, especially programming something to actually move and do all that, like, that's...
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is. Raspberry Pi something.
If you know how to hook up a timing, because you can get, like, timing, what are they called? Chips, like, but they have either way, there are specific chips that, this is how a lot of ye olde style-y things used to be done before micro presses. Although nowadays you can actually get a microprocessor I saw one which is about 5 mil by 5 mil the size. All right. So as long as you can put that on a board, again, it's you program it right and you power it up, you can.
Okay, there are LED necklaces and they're quite small, so we have the technology.
We definitely have the technology. Something you mentioned last time we chatted, I think last time we recorded, but we
previously
didn't make the recording.
Our interactions.
Because you were saying about having something for the computer, or you wanted one of the things. So I actually used to have, I have it still somewhere, but it's in a box now, because I literally only packed it up just recently. Is I bought used to be able to get from Dick Smith a Knight Rider in huge quotation marks kit light bar, but it was like 12, 15 LEDs long, whereas the actual one in the car in the show was like seven big bulbs.
Yes.
But it would do the, it didn't do the sound, but I'm using the sound because you can't see my finger moving.
Yeah.
ASMR.
I think that's one of the more iconic car-related sounds. The other one is obviously the Transformers thing.
And I'd say also the Ghostbusters siren is very iconic as well.
Oh, yeah. What did they use for that?
I can make a really joke in bad taste, but I don't think I will. I honestly don't know. I think it's supposed to mimic the idea of like a spectral sound, but... At least something distinct enough that you couldn't recognize it as an emergency vehicle, but still got the intonation of an emergency vehicle.
It has the vibe, the energy.
It's the vibe, Your Honor.
I kind of wish Carl was painted all white.
Because,
you know, there's that old cowboy thing of the hero wears the white hat and the villain wears the white black hat. White hat
versus black hat.
And now we've got an all-black car as the hero, so why not make the villain all white?
I think that was probably... I'd actually say that was probably more of a logistics thing. Like, you know, it's probably that thing of, do we really want to paint up an entire car versus we just paint the mud flaps?
Yeah, and also that half and half thing is so quintessentially 80s.
Yeah.
But it's funny though, he's like, I must disguise myself. I'm going to change my paint. And then he gets about halfway up and he's like, yep, done. No one will recognize me now.
The thing I love is when you actually see some Trans Ams from the era, when they finally went into production, because I think by the time they went into production, they were changed. You know, sufficient enough that the bumper was different. I'm not sure if that was a part of the concept or it was a thing they added for Kit, the actual extended front bumper, so they could add the light bar.
Hang on. I'm going to have to look at that.
Either way, the thing I've seen a lot in Trans Ams of that era is the painted bird on the bonnet.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wow, that's such an 80s thing.
The Firebird,
yeah, because that was a Corvette thing as well of the era, I believe.
Some of those Corvettes looked a lot like that Trans Am, so
yeah, because I think Corvettes was the thing that Face from the A-Team used to drive, and the Pontiac.
They didn't change the front of the car to be Kit. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, because I think the production ones are slightly different, to the point where if you want to get a Trans Am, you need to buy a fan-made bumper to fit like the light bar and all that stuff into it to extend it out slightly.
It looks pretty sexy and white. I think Carl should have done that.
Yeah.
See, the problem was, he kept hanging out with these bogan dudes, and like if he had just chose to hung out with a woman of a taste, she would have been like, yeah, clearly she'd go white.
No, I'm just imagining Carl getting done up by a redneck mechanic.
He basically was.
No, but like, you know, it's like he's got a couple of like gigantic twin exhausts. Flames down the side.
Yeah, Kit sees him like, my God, what have they done to you? I don't want to talk about it. Wait, hang on. I've got to do my main voice because that's what Carl sounds like for whatever reason.
I will destroy you, Kit. Y'all. What have you done to me?
Oh, someone did a rainbow one. I love it. Oh, wow. I got to send that to you.
I haven't looked into Trans Ams for a while because I was thinking of buying one and doing up.
Please, if we do even make any of this into the podcast, please support my GoFundMe so I can buy a kit, basically.
Because about 20 years ago is when I first started looking into it. Probably I had another serious attempt about at least 10 years ago. And there is a place, there was a place in America that all they did was Trans Am conversion kits.
Mm.
And with only one singular T, unfortunately. But they actually did a left-hand drive and a right-hand drive version of the dashes as well. So you can get a right-hand drive kit. If you've got a right-hand drive Trans Am, you can do a right-hand drive kit.
I want it. Also, look at the one... I sent you a link in the Zencaster chat. This is... I don't know if I hate it or I love it, but it's fabulous. It definitely is.
Okay. The vehicle has been... Oh, fuck!
I love it, but I don't know why.
The thing I hate the most is the engine block. External
engine block. Unless it's you're in fucking Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
No.
But I actually kind of like that bottom thing.
I think it's actually really well done. It could have been really tacky, but they've blended it. It's an ombre. It's really subtle. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
It makes a statement for sure. And that's... See, Carl, you should have gone with that.
See, it's a Trans Am, so it should be the official car of the... Oh, that's a... Wow. So I'm just looking at the... Oh, wow. Hang on.
The Trans Am said trans rights.
No way. That's not rainbow colored. That's chroma... Oh, God. Was it chromatic? It's light changing. It's on your angle.
Is it?
Oh, that bonnet. Yeah, just click on the side view and you see the color is changing.
Right. Oh, my
That's
God.
That's even better.
Oh, my God.
It's a solid color, but if you look at the close-up of the bonnet,
Yeah, this the skull bullshit is nasty, but otherwise, shit, put some whoosh lights in the front of that, get rid of the engine block on the top, I will marry it.
The sassiest kit ever. I mean, kit's pretty sassy to begin with.
Very much a sassy bitch, I think. I can't imagine either car or kit pulling this off. I think this is another Trans Am. This is someone else. Okay, I had this concept. You know, you went with, imagine car being customized by a redneck. What if he teams up with a teenage girl, like Mean Girls, Regina George, and together, so she gives him the makeover, and together they basically just murder all her opponents. They take over the high school. The demon car and the bitchy girl.
I am totally behind that. And also, I'm just keep scrolling through these photos because I just realized how much I just fucking love the look of this car.
I'm in love. I will marry this car. I will find it and I will marry it.
I mean, it's one of those things where for me, it's also utterly impractical because I tend to, like, you know, put big things in boots. Well, not since my car got dinged, but
wait, it doesn't say sold.
God.
Holy shit, it doesn't say sold.
No, at the top it says this vehicle is being sold.
Damn it, because looking down the bottom going, there's usually it's at the top, damn it, because that
it's
right. Let's do something stupid, Simon. Let's do something stupid.
I don't know if you can see if it's on your one, but I'll give you the link because you know how it's the similar vehicles thing,
yeah.
Copy paste. So just while I'm thinking, I know we're going to start being serious and actually recording in like 5 to 15
I know, we really got minutes. Off on a tangent here, but I'm having a wonderful time.
No, check out this, the one I just linked is a Trans Am. It's the later model of kit, because it's the 86. but it's a white bottom. I think that looks really cool. It's got a stripe on it as well. But
why didn't they reissue really cool. this car? Oh, it's a navy blue, actually. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I've just opened it up.
Because I know they've remade certain cars, but...
Actually, that Firebird looks really good in the purple with the blue. That actually looks really good.
I saw a car from the remake in images, and I forgot how disgusting... Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I thought it was like a toy.
Okay, so there is a guy in Perth who actually has a kit decked out, and he's driven it. He's taken it to Supernova at least once or twice. He was selling it a few years ago. I'm not sure if it's sold or not, but I think it's just disappeared. If he has sold it or not, because I've not seen it out and about in a while. Oh, that spoiler's ugly, but I guess that's the 80s. No, that's right. So the first kit was an 82 model, and then they updated the model for season 3 to the 84 model.
Ah.
So this would be the 86 is the model after that. So that's not an actual... It's close enough that you could probably modify it, but you know the purists will just be like... No, I'm not going to go to car sales right now. I'm not typing in that at all. I'm not going to look at carsales.com.au and look for Pontiac Trans Am.
I have been looking. I don't even have my license yet, but I know what I want.
Yeah. Just all models, location.
I really like that dark blue that other one you linked me to had.
That was a nice looking Oh, the only one in WA is a 68 Pontiac, which is a bit more like the car from Bullet.
Yeah. Nothing looks like this particular Trans Am, the kit car. It's just, when you watch the show, when you see it drive down the street, you just go, that's... You notice that car. It's not just because of the whoosh whoosh lights, but it's... And I always call it the whoosh whoosh lights. Don't judge me.
No. I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, no, wow. Always call it. Sorry, I'm just looking... Okay. So, fuck it. I'm glad I've got the Zencastr, because I can't be bothered logging into... I'm looking just at this. It's general across Australia. And I'm looking at the 89 Pontiac and the 1994 Pontiac. And it's like... They're actually really nice, updated versions that I could totally see being kit.
Hmm. Ooh, show me.
There's an 85. That's the closest so far I can see. An 87. No, they don't have any 82 or 84 models. I mean, they weren't going cheap the last time I checked, but the best I ever saw one was about $8,000, but that was a few years ago.
Hmm.
And there was one selling in Perth. I just definitely could not afford it.
But it would be great if they decided to remake it, and then you'd have all the modern luxuries. It wouldn't sound and feel ancient. Mm.
So here's an interesting thing. When it came to doing Knight Rider 2000, the producers actually approached Pontiac to get a new concept car, or to get them involved. Apparently, after it was revealed that Kit was a Pontiac Trans Am, they got so inundated with requests for the car. They just could not keep up production because everyone wanted a kit.
Yes.
And they eventually, by the end of their relationship with the show, they were so pissed at the producers that they was like, no, we're not dealing with any other film or TV production ever again.
So, it's too successful. Yeah. How dare.
It honestly was, because they weren't expecting to sell that many cars. I mean, you know... Car manufacturers only make a certain amount of cars per year because they know how much volume they need to produce based on previous things. Nobody outsells a car that quickly, realistically speaking.
And that's another thing I find fascinating about popular culture and film in particular, and film and television, because it infuses an object with a story. There's this public speaking coach. He talks about how he bought, I think either he or he read this researcher, bought a heap of items off of eBay, just some random stuff, and he got some people to write stories, gave each of these items more significance. And some of these items ended up selling for 3 and 4 times the original price because they had given it a history, some kind of significance. And so with car or the DeLorean or anything like that, it's not just a car, it's this legacy.
I mean, that's essentially that's DeLorean to a T. The certain degree is like, that was a failed car. It was a piece of junk. Let's be brutally honest. The DeLorean in and of itself was a shit car.
And that, I love that because it works in continuity to me. That's perfectly in character that Doc Brown probably bought this piece of shit car, did not care, got it real cheap. He's probably blown up a few before he got to this one. So,
well, one of the absolute ironies in Back to the Future is that a DeLorean is physically incapable of reaching 88 miles per hour.
Wonderful.
My favorite all-time DeLorean story is there was a... I think it was when Christopher Lloyd came to Australia back in 2013.
God, yeah.
Was it 2013 or 2012?
Somewhere around then, yeah.
Yeah.
It was near Prometheus.
It was definitely... It must have been 2012 because that was the year I met Brendan. And... it must be that year. Either way. And in Sydney, they were having a meetup with, I think, all the DeLoreans literally in the city or in the state. There were 12 that were supposed to turn up. only 8 made it because the rest had mechanical failures. And that says everything you need to know about DeLoreans.
Yep.
And that's it for some of the bonus content. We usually don't record that much before a show or even afterwards, unless I forget to press the stop button. So you're probably not going to get much more of the deep lore in future episodes or future bonus content. Once again, you know, thank you for listening. You know what, this is bonus content. I'm not going to go through the spiel, but, you know, check us out. The links are below. Have a good Christmas, Yule, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, that one with the pole that Seinfeld invented, which fucking makes no sense. Praise be to the flying spaghetti monster. Everything, you know, just keep well on this disaster of a year, and hope you stick around for the disaster that's going to be next year. Bye.